Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will go ahead and call the Senate Commerce Committee to order. I would like to thank both caucuses for going to caucus immediately, saving that travel time in between. And I would like to apologize to both caucuses and those folks who are in the gallery now. The microphone malfunction made it so that we could not, we just couldn't meet expectations for those who were watching online. And I appreciate the chamber up here saying, okay, we can make this work quick. So with that, we will go ahead and call the Commerce Committee to order, and we will start with roll call. It will be taken silently. Those who are not present will be excused until they arrive. We have also distributed the meeting minutes, previous meeting minutes, electronically. I hope you've had a chance to look at them. Are there any additions or corrections to be noted? Seeing none, they will stand as delivered. Today we're going to cover Senate Study Bill 3069 with Senator Goodwin, life insurer, foreign investments, with a tiny amendment. Senate Study Bill 3071 with Senator Williams, direct care arrangements, no amendment. Senate Study Bill 3088 with Senator Brown, catalytic converters, with a strike after amendment. And then finish with Senate Study Bill 3093 with myself, unemployment and tort reform, with no amendments. At this time, we will begin with Senator Goodwin. Do you have a subcommittee report?
I do. Thank you, Mr. Chair. The subcommittee of myself, Senator Johnson, and Senator Kornbach all signed off recommending a passage with amendment.
We will start with opening comments, or would you like to get to the amendment immediately?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. This bill has to do with foreign investments by Iowa life insurance issuers. The bill would strike the current language of the statutory provision on foreign investments and replace it with new language providing in substance as follows. The bill would allow an Iowa life insurance company to invest in foreign obligations only as authorized by the bill's provisions. Authorized investments would include investments issued by or investment practices with a counterparty outside of either the United States or Canada of substantially the same type of those investments permitted for a life insurance company or association. Finally, this bill would expand the prohibition on investment in evidences of indebtedness issued, assumed, or guaranteed by a foreign government which engaged in a consistent pattern of gross violations of human rights to cover any investment so backed by such a government. Those are my opening comments. And there is an amendment.
You are in order for opening comments on the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The amendment is twofold. It just strikes the word obligation and inserts investments twice on page 1, line 35, and page 2, line 1.
Are there any comments on the amendment? Seeing none, you are in order for closing comments on the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move the amendment.
I believe voice vote would be most appropriate. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. Hearing none, the amendment is accepted by voice vote. Are there any comments on the bill as amended? Seeing none, you are in order for closing comments on the bill as amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would simply move the bill.
Senator Goodwin moves Senate Study Bill 3069 as amended. Voice vote has been requested. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Hearing none, the Senate Study Bill 3069 will move to the calendar under Rule 40. This brings us to Senate Study Bill 3071 with Senator Williams. Do you have a subcommittee report?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, I do. This would be Senators Goodwin, Peterson, and myself recommending passage.
You are in order for opening comments.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So this bill relates to direct health care agreements. In current law, some primary health care professionals can enter into direct relationships or direct care agreements with a patient to provide some primary care health services. And they do that at a set service charge that covers those services over a specific period of time. This bill would broaden the types of healthcare professionals that may enter into that direct healthcare agreement to include healthcare professionals that perform those healthcare services. Healthcare services, defined in the bill as services for the diagnosis, prevention, treatment, cure, or relief of health condition, illness, injury, or disease, and includes dental care services. This is not insurance. That's my opening comments.
Senator Williams has concluded his opening comments. Are there any comments or questions? Senator Peterson, you are in order.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I served on the subcommittee, and I did not sign off on the subcommittee report. I have concerns about this program and consumer protection for Iowans who may think that they're buying more than what they actually are getting through this program. And if this does move on to the floor, I hope that you'll put some consumer protections in it, particularly to make sure that Iowans are not turned away if they have a pre-existing condition. I'm worried about discrimination. I'm worried about differences in price tags based on a person's gender, a whole host of things. And I'm also worried about creating programs that are not insurance, but they look like insurance, and when an Iowan thinks it's going to be there for them, finding out it absolutely isn't covering what they had thought they were purchasing. So I'm a no vote today, and I'd encourage my colleagues to vote no.
Seeing no other comments, Senator Williams, you are in order for closing comments.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Senator Peterson, for those comments. I do recall that during our subcommittee, you brought up some very valid points. For me, this is a matter of a healthcare provider on one end and a customer on the other, and the two of them getting together and negotiating a contract for particular services. You agree to provide services, I agree to pay you. I'm not sure why the state needs to be involved further than that. I can see where somebody might consider this an insurance policy. It is not an insurance policy, and the law specifically states that. I would encourage passage of Senate Study Bill 3071.
Senator Williams moves Senate Study Bill 3071. Short record roll call has been requested. The clerk will call the roll. Schultz votes aye. I will. Senator Kelker votes aye. Senator Giddens is excused today. You'll have to beller that out. Senator Bisignano votes no.
Senator Brown, aye.
Senator Brown votes aye.
Senator Chapman
is excused.
Aye.
Senator Goodman is an aye.
Senator Johnson, aye.
Senator Johnson votes aye.
Senator
Clemish votes aye. Senator Lycum votes no.
Senator Mathis?
No. Senator Mathis votes no.
Senator Nunn?
Senator Nunn is excused.
Senator Peterson
votes no.
Senator
Kornbach?
No.
Senator Kornbach votes no.
Senator
Sinclair votes aye. Senator Smith votes aye.
Senator
Williams votes aye with a vote of 9-5. By my account, the bill moves to the calendar under Rule 40. We now move to Senate Study Bill 3088 with Senator Brown. Senator Brown, do you have a subcommittee report?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Your subcommittee of Brown, Kelker, and Lycum recommend passage with amendment with Lycum not signing.
You are in order for opening comments.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate Study Bill 3088 makes several changes regarding the sale of catalytic converters. The bill enhances penalties for receiving catalytic converters and increases recording requirements for scrap metal dealers engaged in the trade. Mr. Chair, that concludes my opening comments. There is an amendment.
You are in order for opening comments on the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Amendment number 3073 is a strike after amendment and makes the following changes. It includes addition of provisions for business-to-business transactions with reduced recording requirements, includes local ordinance preemption, strikes requirement for employees to ID vehicle types of the catalytic converter, includes requirement to take pictures of the catalytic converter, includes requirements to keep copies of the relevant documents, and I would note that the penalties that were in the original bill remain the same.
Are there any questions or comments on the amendment? Senator Lycum, you are in order.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I served on this subcommittee and I did not sign off on it, and I still have problems with the strike after amendment and urge my colleagues to vote no.
Are there any other comments? Seeing none, Senator Brown, you are in order for closing comments on amendment 3073.
I move the amendment.
Senator Brown moves the amendment. Voice vote has been requested. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Would you like to be recorded? Senator Peterson votes no. Senator Quirnbach votes no. Senator Mathis votes no. Senator Lycum votes no. Senator Bisignano votes no. All Democrats will be recorded as a no on the amendment. The amendment is accepted. We are now back on the bill as amended after the strike call. Do we have any other comments on the bill as amended? Seeing none, Senator Brown, you are in order for closing comments as amended.
I move the bill as amended.
Senator Brown moves Senate Study Bill 3088 as amended. A voice vote has been requested on this one. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. Would you like to be recorded? Senator Lycum is a no. Senator Mathis, Senator Quirnbach, Senator Peterson, and Senator Bisignano recorded as no's. All Democrats are recorded as no's. Senate Study Bill 3088 moves to the calendar on voice vote with recorded no's under Rule 40. At this time, I would transfer the chair over to Senator Kelker for recognition of Senate Study Bill 3093.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I now call up Senate Study Bill 3093. Senator Schultz, do you have a subcommittee report?
Your subcommittee of Schultz, Brown, and Senator Peterson have met, with Schultz and Brown signing recommending passage.
Thank you. Senator Schultz, you're now in order for opening comments.
Ladies and gentlemen, here we have the governor's workforce development bill. I'll go through and list the sections and a short comment, and then we can move on to comments. Section one is a policy preamble, which replaces the Depression era language explaining the purpose of the old unemployment system with modernized language, which has a sense of hope and re-employment in it. Section two is a duration of benefits, moving individual loss of employment for no fault of their own from 6 months down to 4 months, and in the event of a plant closing, 9 months down to 6 months. That would leave us as the only state still to have that provision in our unemployment. The 1 week waiting period is the topic of section three. It would institute a 1 week waiting period before unemployment assistance would begin. Section four is defining misconduct, taking years and years of ALJ case law or case decisions and placing a actual rule book in code as opposed to going back to 75 years of case precedent. Section five and six is a sliding scale for suitable work, which compresses the scale already in the code, making it compress into a shorter amount of benefits timeline. Section seven is direct appeal rights, allowing either party to, after the ALJ, to skip the Employment Appeals Board and go straight to district court. We move on to Division Two, which is litigation reform. Section 8 and 9, hard cap for non-economic damages and claims against healthcare providers. Section 10, liability for negligence in operation of commercial motor vehicle, the McAfee rule. Section 11, a cap on non-economic damages in commercial motor vehicle accidents. Section 12, punitive damage pleading procedure. That would handle the 12-section bill. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a larger bill with a single point of purpose of putting people back to work. The unemployment section speaks for itself, and the other two sections are a get back to work bill, medical personnel, nurses specifically, and truck drivers being among the highest needs in Iowa. And these sections will allow folks to expand, to hire more truckers, and to move people into those positions. Those would conclude my opening comments.
Is there further discussion on this bill? Senator Kornbach, you're in order.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. We're talking about workforce. So let's talk a little bit about workforce. I think there is bipartisan agreement that there is a workforce shortage in Iowa these days. In fact, I went back and looked back a couple years, back to December 2019, the month before the pandemic launched, and compared that with December 2021, the most recent data we have. And sure enough, the state of Iowa has lost 85,400 workers in those 2 years. 85,000 jobs not filled. So where did those 85,000 people go? Well, I then looked at the category called unemployed, and that did increase, but it only increased 8,800. 85,000 jobs lost, only 8,800 increase in unemployed. Now, to be considered unemployed, the formal definition, you have to be, of course, not working, but you also have to be looking for a job. Of those 85,400 we lost, only 8,800 were still looking for a job. The rest had left the workforce entirely. Now, to be qualified for unemployment compensation, you have to be looking for a job. The details of that are part of the bill. But 90% of a loss of employment are people who aren't looking for a job anymore, who aren't collecting unemployment compensation. So if we're concerned with the workforce to focus on the unemployed, you're missing 90% of the problem. 90% of the problem. Oh, but wait. I'm going to sound like a late night TV commercial. Oh, but wait, there's more. Of those people classified as unemployed, not all of them are collecting unemployment compensation. All right. Students who have gotten out of school and are looking for the first job are categorized as unemployed, but they don't collect unemployment compensation. Young parents who've been staying home raising a new baby and now are re-entering the workforce or trying to, they don't get unemployment compensation. In fact, in point of fact, in the week of 18 December last year, there were only 14,141 continuing claims of unemployment. There were at that time 57,900 classified as unemployed, but only 14,141 collecting unemployment. That's less than 25%. So to turn down the screws, and let's be clear, that's what this bill is doing to people collecting unemployment. You're not just missing 90% of the problem, You're also missing the 3/4 of the people who are unemployed who aren't collecting. In other words, in the aggregate, you're missing 97.5% of the problem. You're missing 97.5% of the problem when you turn down the screws on people who are actually collecting unemployment. And just to reinforce my point that this isn't about trying to improve the workforce, I also look back 2 years to see how many people were on unemployment, who were collecting unemployment 2 years ago. 22,119 for the week of December 21st. 22,000 were collecting unemployment 2 years ago. It's only 14,000 who are collecting unemployment now. The number of people collecting unemployment is down 8,000 over the last 2 years. How is it that beating up on unemployed people is going to be a proper or effective response to our workforce crisis? 97.5%, you're missing the target, and the people you've targeted are fewer than the number who were unemployed 2 years ago. I'm going to vote no on the bill just on that alone.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you. I served on the subcommittee. The subcommittee started out with a representative from Governor Reynolds' office coming to the subcommittee to promote this as the Governor Reynolds workforce bill. And I find that very disturbing. I feel that this bill is trying to set a narrative that Iowans are lazy, and we know that that couldn't be further from the truth. I just want to start by talking about the unemployment section of the bill. From someone who actually was on unemployment in my early 20s, when I wasn't able to go to my job because the city of Des Moines lost all of its water. As you can imagine, as a 22-year-old, I didn't have a big nest egg at that point, and I was pretty scared on what would happen to me without getting a paycheck. The reason why we have unemployment is not only to protect those who lose their job through no fault of their own, but also their families and their communities. This bill changes the preamble and takes out the intent of what unemployment is, and I think that that is terrible. I think Iowans need to be reminded unemployment insurance is an insurance program, not just for the jobless, but also for everyone whose lives are interconnected with the jobless. Take, for instance, Charles City. They lost 513 people lost their jobs on one day alone in 2019. Or you could take West Burlington and the hundreds of people that lost their jobs. So imagine you find out you've lost your job and you start thinking, oh, the Governor Reynolds program has a 1 week delay on unemployment insurance. And not only is it a delay, but I won't get that first week of my unemployment insurance unless I exhaust all of my unemployment insurance. I would get it at the very end. So you find out you've lost your job. I don't know, if I had kids, probably the first place I would go would be my childcare provider to let her know I'm not gonna get my first week of unemployment, her or him. And I would imagine if they got the call from more people in their town, they might say, I can't float you. I have a waiting list. And I'm sorry, I love taking care of your kids, but I can't take care of them for free. Then you may call up your local dentist and say, my kid was gonna get their tooth filled, but I'm not gonna have money to pay for it. I mean, it just the ripple effect of getting rid of that first week, which is critical to helping families be able to keep their stuff together when they get the worst news of their life that they've lost a job. Completely heartless. We had people that work in the construction trades at our meeting the other day talking about, you know, the companies that they work for. This is, you know, they get laid off because of Mother Nature. We're all seeing the supply chain issues that our state has faced. This is no fault of Iowa workforce. These are things that happen that are hard for somebody who just is trying to make a paycheck for their family. They have no control over this. Mother Nature, supply chains, the pandemic. This is cutting unemployment insurance by more than 10 weeks. It's taking that first week off. It's also cutting 10 weeks off. And it's also saying, look, if you have somebody offer you a job in your first week at the same amount of pay, you got to take it, or we're cutting you and your family off your unemployment. I don't know why we're attacking Iowa's workforce. My gosh. If you've ever had anyone in your family lose their job, you know how stressful it is. A family's financial security matters in the state, and I cannot believe that this is the governor's idea of making Iowa better and fixing our workforce problem. Heartless. The misconduct section, it's missing a section from the misconduct session. And also, many of the things that are put in your bill, I think, give employers reasons to dump employees that would be hard for someone to prove. The shorter timeline is terrible. Okay, so that's one part of the bill. Then we have a completely unrelated subject, which is dealing with caps, which is saying everyone on this committee knows better than a jury that's gonna say, this is all you get. This is all you get. We're going to just decide a cap right here. Doesn't matter how many people someone in a truck hits, it's got a $1 million cap on it. We had the example of an Iowa farmer who was hit by a truck and crushed. The family found that the truck driver had heroin and heroin paraphernalia right on the bed of his truck. And that would not be allowable evidence under this bill. I don't know how anyone can sleep on their pillow at night tonight if they vote in favor of saying that that evidence should not be given to an Iowa family to use when they've lost their relative in a horrific accident. I'm flabbergasted that this is the bill we're getting from our governor. Maybe she should talk to some of the Iowa nurses who have been on the front line of this pandemic, and they're sitting working next to people she's had to bring in from out of state and paying them 10 times more than an Iowa worker who has been there for their community through this entire pandemic. But no, her answer is a cap for families who've lost loved ones. This is a workforce answer for Iowans who have been grappling with this pandemic since 2020. I could go through the list. I looked at it over the weekend of people who've lost their jobs, and I just can't imagine some of these towns that they had massive layoffs, that what you want to do is cut back their benefits. I could go on and on about how bad this bill is and how out of touch our governor must be to the true struggles Iowans are seeing in their towns. This is absolutely not the answer. I would encourage a hard no vote.
Seeing no further discussion, Senator Schultz, you're in order for closing remarks on Senate Study Bill 3093.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen of the committee, I appreciate the discussion. I'm going to save most of it here. We will have, without a doubt, an incredibly spirited floor debate on this. Just to summarize some of what I heard, though, is Iowa has the second best replacement rate of unemployment right now. After this bill, we will again. That doesn't change. The one-week waiting period, we're one of 10 states that doesn't do this. Only 9 other states do. Every state that borders us, including frigid Minnesota, I would assume that would be one of the examples that we heard, was sometimes weather doesn't allow you to work. They've done this. I almost actually forgot. For Iowa being the second best state for benefits, the only outfit that does beat us on a salary replacement level is Minnesota. But Minnesota's upside down and borrowing money from the federal government trying to figure out how to make ends meet. So we're doing things to try to shore up the system, give employers stability, a lower tax rate so that they can put this back into their businesses, creating more jobs, giving higher salaries, better benefits, better working environments, newer machinery. That's what draws people back into the workforce after they've made the decision due to what I consider just national government overreach under COVID. They left. It was disgusting to try to work in a COVID environment like we've had. We can attract them back. Employers want them back, and they're willing to invest the money, and we're going to create that environment. With that, I would move Senate Study Bill 3093.
Thank you, Senator Schultz. Senator Lycum, record. Record roll call has been requested. If you could kindly call roll call. Senator Schultz, aye. Senator Kelker, aye. Senator Biziano, no.
Senator Brown, aye.
Senator Brown is an aye.
Senator Chapman
is excused. Senator Goodwin's an aye. Senator Johnson's an aye. Senator Clemish is an aye. Senator Lycum's a no.
Senator Mathis.
No. Senator Mathis is a no.
Senator
Peterson's a no.
Senator
Kornbach's a no.
Senator
Sinclair. Senator Sinclair's an aye.
Senator
Smith's an aye. Senator Williams is an aye. The bill receiving the constitutional. What? Yeah, what is the vote total? What is the vote total? The ayes and noes. Okay, the bill passes 9-5. Thank you very much. Moves to the calendar under Rule 40. Senator Schultz, the meeting is back to you.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you. That concludes our agenda for today. Having no further business before the committee, Senator Williams moves we adjourn.